Hare Krishna. We are reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 12, which is entitled Expansions of Advaita Acharya and Gadadhar Pandit. This morning we are reading text 39 and 40. Is it 39 written there? 39. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected me as a senior. But I did not like such respect. Therefore, my mind being afflicted by unhappiness, I made a plan. Text 40. Mukti shreshtha kari kainu vashishtha vyakhyan kruddhaya prabhu mara kaila apaman. Thus I expounded the Yoga Vashishtha, which considers liberation the ultimate goal of life. For this, the Lord became angry at me and treated me with apparent disrespect. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a book of the name Yoga Vashishtha that Mayavadis greatly favor because it is full of impersonal misunderstandings regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead with no touch of Vaishnavism. Factually, all Vaishnavas should avoid such a book. But Advaita Acharya Prabhu, wanting punishment from the Lord, began to support the impersonal statements of the Yoga Vashishtha. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became extremely angry at him and seemingly treated him disrespectfully. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaihyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees. Senior devotees present here. Before I share some thoughts on this particular episode of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are reading in chapter 12 an elaborate explanation of the expansions of Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu and also a mix and a tinge of Sadashiva in him. And of course also the expansions of Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu. And in discussing this, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami brings to our attention a very important pastime, very short one, but very important one, with very, very crucial messages and lessons for our personal life as practicing devotees. Kaviraj Goswami brings to our attention the story of Advaita Acharya and his personal servant, his very confidential personal servant, whose name was Kamalakanta Vishwas. This name is not heard too often. Here in the Adi Leela, Kaviraj Goswami talks about it. And then later, Once in Madhya Leela, there is a reference to Kamalakanta Vishwas, hardly mentioned of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a very short story, but a very revealing story. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Kamalakanta Vishwas Nama Acharya Kinkar Acharya Vyavahara Sabatahara Gochar. Kamalakanta Vishwas was Acharya Kinkar. Kinkara is from the Sanskrit Kim Karoti. Sanskrit is an interesting language. We derive words from just grammar. Kim Karoti, what can I do for you? So from the word Kim Karoti, what can I do from you, for you, comes the word Kinkara, which means a servant. What can I do for you, sir? So Kaviraj Goswami explains that Kamalakanta Vishwas was a Kinkara, was a very confidential servant of Sri Advaita Prabhu. And being a very confidential servant, a very close associate of Advaita Prabhu, Acharya Vyavhara Tara Sabara Gochar, Acharya Vyavhar, he knew all the intimate and close dealings of Advaitacharya. That's the nature of this world. When we get close to someone, we start seeing everything about the person. When we observe the person from a distance, we only see certain aspects of a person. But as soon as we get very intimate and close to someone, that's when everything about the person becomes visible to our eyes, becomes visible to our vision. You know, someone was telling the other day, no one has to teach volcanoes how to erupt. No one has to teach tsunamis how to rise. No one has to teach hurricanes how to sway. No one has to teach a man or a woman how to choose a wife or a husband. Natural disasters just happen. You know, someone said that the other day. Natural disasters just happen. Now, it's quite amazing that a lot of people might take marriage as a disaster. Should marriage be a disaster at all? Should marriage be a disaster at all, or is it a sacred ashram? Is it a wonderful ashram to make progress towards the spiritual world? Isn't it? Someone said, a successful marriage is what? The man said, our marriage is very successful because we go out for dinner thrice a week. She goes out on Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. I go out on Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday. And therefore our marriage happens to be a very successful marriage. Someone else said, a successful marriage means one has to fall in love again and again and again with the same person. And that's the challenge. To fall in love with the same person again and again and again is a challenge, because when we live closely and we see all the vyavahar, all the dealings of the person from inside quarters, then that closeness is jeopardized. That closeness is challenged. And that's not true simply with married life. That's true with ashram life. Someone who's living in the brahmachari ashram, day in and day out, sharing the same room, sharing the same accommodations, whether it's the ladies' ashram, whether it's the men's ashram, or we live in a devotional community with the same devotees all around us, and we know in and out the history and the geography of individuals involved, then naturally, to love the same person again and again, to keep that intimacy, that closeness of the connection, becomes very much challenged. In fact, Srila Prabhupada used to say that when one serves the spiritual master very closely, one has to be extremely careful. Because when one is in very close quarters, like Advaita Prabhu and Kamalakanta Vishwas, because he was so close, then Acharya Vyavahara Tara Sabara Gochar, because he was a very close kinkar, then he knew everything about Advaita Acharya. Living with him, very closely serving him. And thus when one serves the spiritual master very closely, there is a good chance that one might start thinking about the spiritual master as a human being. And therefore Padma Puran warns us, Gurushu Naramatir,
If one starts thinking about or considering the spiritual master as a nara, as a human being, yasyava naraki saha, such mentality is hellish mentality, the Padma Puran tells us. But the tendency of the conditioned mind is that as we interact with a person very closely, it's just too difficult for the conditioned mind to simply focus on the transcendental. Even when we serve the deity, Archa Vishnu Shila Adhir, the Padma Puran explains, Archa, the deity form of the Lord, we might start thinking that as a Shila, simply as a statue or as an idol. And Srila Prabhupada used to quote Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, his spiritual master, and say that sometimes the vigraha will become a galagraha. The spiritual master gives a vigraha, the deity, and then the disciple might start thinking that, oh, he has given us a burden to take care of, a galagraha. And thus the Padma Puran warns us, when we deal with the transcendental, we are dealing with fire. And therefore, when we deal with transcendental, there has to be a conscious awareness and a conscious effort that is constantly put to keep the vision towards that personality transcendental. Because naturally, we start thinking of these things as mundane. Whether it's the deity, whether it's the spiritual master, very closely serving. So Kamalakanta Vishwas was very, very closely serving, and therefore he was seeing all the dealings of Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Advaita Prabhu. One devotee in my travels recently came up to me and he said to me about one Prabhu. And he said, Prabhu, this Prabhu was preaching to me. And he's such an amazing speaker. He has so much knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures. He's so learned, so wise, and he speaks so well. He is amazing. I became a devotee because of him. And I always thought he was a pure devotee. When I heard the word was, some bells started ringing in my ears. He said, I always thought he was a pure devotee. I said, what happened suddenly? He said, I thought he was a pure devotee. Now I've realized he's a poor devotee. I said, why? From poor to pure to poor, why did the spelling change? The P and the E remained same. In the middle, the UR became double O. From pure to poor. Why, what happened? He said, Prabhuji, in the recent past, about 3 years back, I was asked to serve under him, in a project under him, and he is now my manager. He is the head of our project. And I must tell you, he's so manipulative. He's so political. I know that he has so many agendas on his mind. And the only agendas the gentleman has is to get work done. No longer am I a devotee now. No longer am I an asset in Prabhupada's movement. Now I am a resource. He's no longer the same preacher, the same great devotee who used to sit and give Bhagavatam and speak such wonderful stories of Krishna, speak Krishna Katha and inspire me. I would feel so inspired. Now that role is gone and now he's a manager. And now I'm not treated as a valuable asset to whom love and care is given. I'm treated simply as a resource and I'm milked. You know, I'm milked. One time someone said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, you are exactly like a Surabhi cow, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, therefore you can milk me as much as you like. You know, I can give unlimited quantities of milk and keep serving all of you. So this devotee was saying, I'm treated as a resource now. And he was making these allegations towards this devotee. He's manipulative. He's political. He has agendas. I said, Prabhu, look, let's talk about it. I'm not saying don't talk about it. But can't we use a few decent words? Can't we use a little Vaishnav lingo? Why do we have to say manipulative? Why do we have to say political? Of course, I understood that this gentleman was talking to me, pouring out his heart. And when you're burnt, and when someone pours out his heart, naturally the language is not going to be decent. Even I understand. We all go through that. Even I have said things like that. So I could empathize with him. Even I have felt and gone through feelings like that. So I could very well empathize with this gentleman, you know. And I said, yet at the same time, we are a Vaishnava society. The use of words matters. How we say things matters. I'm not saying don't discuss. I'm not saying let's not deal with the issue. But I'm just saying language, just decent language, might probably help us deal with the issue better, you know. And then I said, one thing is for sure. Within us we can talk, discuss, but we should not broadcast it. Let's talk. Let's not broadcast the whole thing. Whatever you've seen about this person, whatever you may have gone through this person, let's not broadcast. Got this internet? The greatest bane of Kali Yuga. The greatest boon of Kali Yuga, if used in service to Srila Prabhupada and to preach Krishna consciousness, and the greatest bane of Kali Yuga, when it's used to broadcast all of these vyavahar that we see, when we deal with someone very closely and intimately, you know. I said, okay, let's talk about it. And as we were discussing, and I know this person also very well, this is all during my travels, and I was telling this devotee, look, he's now a manager. Till the time he was not a manager, tell me about his dealings with you. When he was not a manager, he was a preacher, he was taking care of you, he was serving you, he was preaching Krishna consciousness to you, he was listening to your difficulties, hearing your problems, getting actively involved in trying to resolve your issues, help you in all ways, care for you. You know? Till then, tell me if he ever said things like this, tell me if he ever did things like this, tell me if he ever pushed you to the limits. He said, no. I said, this Prabhu plus management is equal to a certain role that he has to play. He has to make sure things run. He has to make sure that deadlines are met with. He has to make sure that the temple is taken care of. He has to make sure that the taxes are paid and the bills are paid. He has to make sure that everyone's sufficiently engaged. He has to make sure that the whole project is run properly. It's a thankless task. And he's doing it. And he's doing it very well. At the same time, when doing so, there are going to be some decisions which are not liked by all. Will all decisions be loved by all? Will everyone unanimously agree always to all decisions? Never. Never. You know? So there is always going to be certain unpleasant feelings in some people's minds because of something that has been done. And as I was talking to him in the middle, he would suddenly start getting, you know, but he did this, no, to me? But don't you know he said this to me, right? I said, I understand, Prabhu. I definitely empathize. I truly understand. At the same time, I said, when you deal with people in this world, any devotee for that matter, that devotee is always going to have two sides. Because we are not pure devotees, we'll always have the pure two sides to us. One is the strong Vaishnava side, where we are all struggling to cultivate those Vaishnava qualities and trying to deal in a very Vaishnava way. And the other side is going to be the conditioned side. I mean, let's handle it. We live in a community where not everyone's an exalted, perfected soul. Not everyone's a Nitya Siddha. Consequently, there is always going to be a side, the rough side, the conditioned side. And sometimes, in certain services, those conditioned sides are seen up. Not because the first devotee wants to show that side. It's just because life is such. We have to get things done. It's a movement, it's an institution, it's an organization. Things have to run. And then I was talking to this Prabhu, and I said to him, look, at the end of the day, just because someone deals with certain things in a certain way, that does not by any way, shape or form minimize his purity, does it? Just because a management decision is made in a certain way, or this certain way, there's a certain style of working because of trying to get things done, does that by any way, shape or form minimize his sincerity? Does that by any way, shape or form minimize his commitment to serve? And we many times equate the two. We equate a working style to sincerity. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jai. You know? Many times we equate the two. And therefore we start judging people's intentions based on actions. I mean, we have to keep the two things separate. There is an action and there is an intention. Just because someone acts in a certain way, I don't think we have the rights to judge someone's intentions. You know, the only person who can judge someone's intentions is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And if anyone else tries to judge someone's intention, we are trying to play God actually. To try to judge someone's intention means to play God. We can always question actions. We can always try to deal with actions. But to start and branding people that this person is manipulative, this person is political, this person has personal agendas, this person wants to just exploit, I think that's a little too far off. You know? And thus, in our discussion with this devotee, we were talking, we have to deal with the action and focus on the positive intention. I was telling him, yes, let's deal. If you're being too much, you know, if you're it's too much for you to handle, let's talk. We can sit. We can talk with this person. We can handle it. Let's communicate. Let's discuss. Let's not judge intentions and brand. Just let's not minimize that person's sincerity. Let's not minimize that person's purity in devotional service. It's his Vaishnavism. That's always going to be there. And let's keep these two things separate. Separate, you know. Srila Prabhupada used to say, there are five levels of people. On the lowest level is a person who only focuses on the bad in a person. Higher up than that is a person who sees the good and the bad and chooses to focus on the bad. Higher up than that is a person who sees the good and bad and looks at the good and bad equally. One step higher is a person who sees good and bad, but now chooses to neglect the bad or deal with the bad and focus on the good. And the highest level is a person who only sees good. That's an Uttam Adhikari. An Uttam Adhikari is one who only sees good. I mean, we can't do that. We live in an institution, we run an institution, we serve in an institution. And therefore, we have to come to level 4 of a Madhyam Adhikari, where we focus on the good, but we deal with the bad. Therefore, in trying to focusing on people's good, we are honeybees. Always trying to focus on the good side, the nectar. And trying to deal with the issue, we are mechanics. Mechanics just fix the issue. Your car has an issue, they fix it. Your fridge has an issue, you fix it. Their air conditioner has an issue, we fix it. You know, the heating has an issue, we fix it. We don't go more than that. A mechanic has no business more than just fixing problems. If a mechanic comes to your house and, you know, is trying to fix the refrigerator and looks at the wife and says, she's beautiful. Hey, that's none of your business. Fix the issue, man. Fix the refrigerator out of here. Fix the air conditioner out of here. Fix the car out of here. So in trying to deal with issues and negatives, we are mechanics. We fix them. We deal them. We communicate. We handle them. And in trying to deal with people, we are honeybees. With people, we should be bees. With issues, we should be mechanics. Issues need to be dealt with. And in people, we have to be like honeybees, seekers of essence, seekers of the good, seekers of the positive. And that positive consumes our minds and makes us positive. The more we are consumed by the good qualities of other, we give shelter to those good qualities in ourselves because we are what we associate with. Not just physically, even mentally. If we associate with the good qualities of others, we are also going to have those good qualities rub on us. Conversely, if we are going to just focus on the issues and the negatives, then we are also going to give shelter to those qualities in us because we are what we associate with, even internally and mentally. And thus, not to say that we shouldn't deal with them. I'm not saying we don't deal with the issues. We must deal with the issues. But we don't get consumed by them, is the point. And therefore we find here, Kamalakanta Vishwas, very closely associating with Advaita Acharya. Oh, he was so close. And because he was close, he knew all the dealings of Shripad Advaita Acharya. Knowing so, Kamalakanta Vishwas, when he was in Jagannath Puri, wrote a letter. He wrote a note to the king of Odisha, Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And somehow or the other, This letter happened to come and fall into the hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, many times you don't want all the stuff to go everywhere, but it just does, you know. And no matter what we do and hide from anyone, Krishna, how do we hide it from Krishna? And Lord Chaitanya didn't need Google to search. He didn't need Google to search. The other day I was walking in London, someone was wearing a t-shirt. It was so hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing. He was wearing a t-shirt and at the back of the t-shirt was written, "I don't need Google, my wife knows everything." Here in London, I'm just walking, I saw this t-shirt, "I don't need Google, my wife knows everything." You know, with all this Google and all of these websites and this internet service, God, we know so much. I'll tell you, sometimes we know what we don't need to know as well. Not sometimes, a lot of times these days, we get to know what we don't need to know. Earlier when the internet was not there, there were issues, there were problems, and people who needed to know knew it. Now the whole society knows it. Now the whole society knows it. People who don't need to know it, they get confused, they get bewildered, they lose their faith, they become bitter for things that are not even true. For things that are not even true many times. There are things that are true up there, and there are a lot of things that are not even true, you know. But just how life is. Mahaprabhu got to know of this letter. He is the omniscient supreme Lord. Even if he wouldn't get the letter, even if the note wouldn't fall in his hand, Lord Chaitanya would still know what is written on that note. I remember we celebrated the appearance day of Shishi Radha Gopinath in Chapati, and we would encourage all the devotees to write personal letters. You know, and all the devotees would be writing letters. Thousands of them we would get. They would give all these flowers and gifts, and they would bring all these letters and keep. And then after the festival was over, at that point of time, I was taking care of the deity department. So we would count all the cash, the money that had come, all the valuables. Sometimes there would be gold people would bring for the deities. So you can't just leave it like that. We would have to count the gifts, what had come. And then there were so many letters. And once while we were sitting, we thought, you know, let me just check one sample of a letter. Believe me, I didn't want to do it. It was so personal. But I just got too allured. And myself and 2-3 other pujaris, we opened one letter. It was by one young lady. And she said, "Dear Shishi Radha Gopinath, I wish you a very happy birthday on your birthday. Wish you a happy appearance day and all sorts of, and I really love you and I really respect you. Thank you for coming in my life. And all I have is a small prayer for you, my dear Lord. That particular guy whom I love is in love with some other girl. Please, Shishi Radha Gopinath, do something to her." I truly didn't want to read the letter, but I happened to read that letter, and I don't know what it meant by "do something to her." That "do something to her" was to take her away, or I, God knows what she meant, but she had written this letter. And whether or not Krishna really gets that letter in his hand, he still knows what's going on in our lives. Whether we write that letter and it falls in the hands of Shishi Radha Gokulananda or not, they still know what's going on in our lives and in our particular situations. In this particular case, however, the note also came in his hand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found this note. And in this note, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started reading what Kamalakanta Vishwas had written, the confidential servant of Sri Advaita Prabhu had written this note to the king of Odisha, Pratap Rudra Maharaj. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started reading, the content of this note, the first few lines, pleased Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like anything. When he read the first part of this letter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased, because in that note was written that Sri Advaita Prabhu is none other but an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Lord, an incarnation of the Lord, his Mahavishnu, who has come to this material world. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read this written by Kamalakanta Vishwas, oh, he was so visibly pleased. The second part of the note, however, upset Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like anything. I'm sure you're very interested to know what was written in the second part of the note. The first part of the note was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, wow, he got it right. Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And the second part, Mahaprabhu was not happy. In the second part, it was written, I am a confidential servant of Advaita Prabhu, and I see him in close quarters, and my dear King Maharaj Pratap Rudra, I know that Advaitacharya has a debt, a loan of ₹300, and I thereby request you, O King, to kindly liquidate that loan for Advaita Prabhu. Now, how many of you would be happy with that? He was trying to do a service, right? Advaita Prabhu had a loan of ₹300. Now, how much is ₹300 today in pounds? £3. Ladies and gentlemen, in £3, you don't even get a Rubicon, maybe. I don't know what the price of a Rubicon is. Maybe 50 pence. 50 pence, yeah? In £3, what do we get in £3? Even the tube ride is not £3. The minimum fare for a tube ride is probably 4.5-5 pounds, I believe. What's £3? $300. ₹300, Indian rupees. But we are talking of 500 years back. And 500 years back, ₹300 was a lot of money. The Chaitanya Charitamrita does not tell us how did Advaitacharya get this loan, this debt. I don't know how he was in debt. There's no description of how he was in debt. But the debt is mentioned, ₹300. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read this, oh, he was not happy at all. What? Loan of ₹300 and he's requesting Pratap Rudra Maharaj to liquidate the loan of God? How many of you would like to have a God who has a debt? A God in debt. Everyone's going and asking, God, give me this, God, give me that. Please, God, please, mighty Lord. You know, I'm suffering through financial crunch. Please, mighty Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. All the time asking for stuff. You know, one man went to God and said, my dear Lord, please, please, bless me. God said, what do you want? He said, look, I want a bag full of money and I want to be surrounded by the most beautiful women in the world. The next day, he was the bus conductor of a lady's bus. So there's all bus ladies around him and he had a bag full of money because he was giving out tickets, you know. Imagine coming to a God who is in debt. Here we are talking about a God in debt. The first statement says Advaitacharya is the supreme personality of God and an incarnation of the Lord. And the second statement says that there's a God in debt. He owes ₹300 to Maharaj Pratap Rudra and requesting Maharaj Pratap Rudra, please clear the debt off. Any of you here have mortgage to pay? Okay, some hands are going up. Any of you concerned that you have to pay off your mortgage? Okay, any of you are worried about the EMIs, the monthly interest that goes on? Any of you ever prayed to Radha Gokulananda? Gokulananda, please. Please, my Lord, I want to serve you and give more money to you. I just want to finish my mortgage first. I'm happy to give you more, Krishna. Please. Let's just deal with the mortgage first. Please give me a promotion. Please increase my salary. Please let me get more money and all of that money. And then I can pay all the mortgage off. And then all money is yours, Krishna. Everything will be yours. Every monthly salary will be yours, my dear Lord. I'll give you everything. But first, let's clear this mortgage off. And then you hear, oh, he's in debt. You might have to help him to pay his mortgage off. Srila Prabhupada was at the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. And they started a bank near the guest quarters in Krishna Balaram temple. And it was the Punjab National Bank. And they invited Srila Prabhupada for the opening of the Punjab National Bank. So Prabhupada and all the devotees was right in the Krishna Balaram campus. So along with all the devotees, Srila Prabhupada came for the opening and the bank manager was standing there. And Srila Prabhupada was chuckling and laughing. And Srila Prabhupada said to him, so in the Srimad Bhagavatam we have the story of Kubera, the treasurer of all demigods, asking Dhruva, son, ask if you want something. And the treasurer of all demigods is asking Dhruva, what do you want? And Dhruva said, I don't want anything, just give me your blessings. And then Srila Prabhupada started laughing. And he turned toward the bank manager and said, oh, now we have a whole bank here. So we don't have to worry about any money. Anytime we ask for any money, we will be given by this bank. You will, right? He asked the bank, you will give us all the money, right? And then he said, but like Dhruva, we don't want money. We simply want your blessings, sir. And the bank manager started laughing. And then he said, but Swamiji, shall I tell you something? He said, there was a man who was going through a heart surgery. And as he was on the operation table lying there, the heart surgeon asked him, you want to get a heart transplant done? You have a choice between three hearts. choose which one you want for the transplant. One is the army general, second is a businessman, third is a banker. And this bank manager told Srila Prabhupada, and the patient chose the banker's heart. The surgeon said, why did you choose the banker's heart? The patient said, because it has never been used, sir. So I therefore thought I would choose the banker's heart. And then Srila Prabhupada said, but wait, I must tell you something more. And they were going on with these dealings and all the devotees were laughing and having a great time. And then Srila Prabhupada said, once a poor man heard from his friend that money attracts money. And therefore the poor man went to a bank with his little coin in his hand. And he went to the cashier's counter, and on the cashier's counter all these big bundles of currency notes were lying there. And the man went and put the coin on top of these bundles and kept waiting there. The cashier said, well, what happened? What are you waiting for? He said, no, I've heard money attracts money. So I put my coin assuming that it'll attract all the money. The banker said, sorry, sir, it's happened the other way around. My money has attracted your money. So the coin is mine and now you go. And then Srila Prabhupada started laughing and all the devotees started laughing. And then Prabhupada said to the bank manager, just give us our blessing. Give us your blessing that we can serve Krishna properly. And the bank manager said, Prabhupada, Swamiji, give us your blessing that we can serve you properly. All these loans and debts and banks. Krishna, Krishna. You know, Advaita Prabhu. When Lord Chaitanya saw the statement that he is in a debt of 300 rupees, he didn't like it. He didn't like that Kamalakanta Vishwas had made God into a beggar, begging for money. He didn't like that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been brought down to the level of a human being, and that the human being was now obliged to pay the loan, and therefore Advaita Prabhu was also obliged to pay the loan. And just like a human being would need favors from someone to pay the loan off, similarly Advaita Prabhu would need favors from the king of Odisha to pay the loan off. And in that commentary, Srila Prabhupada talks about the concept of Mayavadis, talking about Daridra Narayan. They make God into some Daridra. Daridra Narayan. If everyone's God, why is everyone begging like that? Srila Prabhupada says. You know? And thus, Lord Chaitanya wasn't pleased with that. You know why? Because the understanding was wrong. The action was proper, wanting to serve, but the understanding was wrong. And therefore, if the understanding is not right, the service cannot be right. If the service has to be right, the understanding has to be proper as well. You know, if you put the button in place, the first button is in place, all the other buttons will follow. If the first button is put wrong, all the other buttons are going to be messed up. Therefore, we have to get the basics right. If we have the understanding proper and thorough, naturally, our service will be proper. One devotee, lady devotee, asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can I offer the deities baby food? Prabhupada said, why? He said, Prabhupada, because I am in Vatsalya Rasa. I am in the mood of a parent. Krishna's like my baby, Prabhupada. So I'd like to offer baby food to Prabhupada, to Krishna. So then Prabhupada said, okay, so is it homemade baby food or purchased baby food? So this devotee said, Prabhupada, it is purchased baby food. Then Prabhupada looked at her and said, no, you can't offer that to Krishna. And then he said, by the way, we worship Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, in the mood of awe and reverence, not in the moods of Vatsalya and Sakya and Madhurya. We follow Sadhana Bhakti and we worship the deities in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Therefore, we should treat them in that mood. Offer them chappan bhog, not baby food. You know, as soon as the understanding is messed up, action is messed up. If we have the right understanding, our conclusions are right, our actions will be right. Our actions cannot be right unless our understanding is right. And therefore, it's such a need to get the philosophy right. Srila Prabhupada wrote all of these books for what? So that we don't have a wrong understanding of Krishna. We don't have a wrong understanding of Sri Guru. Look, Kamalakanta's understanding of Advaita Prabhu. Look at his understanding of Advaita Prabhu. He is during Lord Chaitanya's time and he still has a wrong understanding. And what to speak of now? And therefore, if we are not faithful to Srila Prabhupada's books, if we are not faithful to the purports of His divine grace, and if we don't have the understanding of our philosophy crystal clear, our actions are going to be erroneous. Our actions can go wrong, you know. And therefore, it's such a need to have the conclusions right. I remember last year, I had gone to Srinathji in Nathdwar, Rajasthan, which is the deity of Madhavendra Puri, worshipped by the followers of Vallabhacharya. You know, beautiful deity. Any of you been to Nathdwar, Srinathji? Taken darshan of Srinathji? Beautiful deity. If you ever go to India, do go to visit Srinathji. Absolutely beautiful, stunning beauty. And in the winters, 2 months back I went, in the winters, in the Mangalarti, in the morning prayers, they just cover the whole deity with, you know, beautiful cloth, like wrapped up. All you can see is his little face, just two little eyes, and this, they call it the chibuk. Chibuk is the diamond which was given by Aurangzeb to Srinathji. There's a whole long story behind it. And they still offer it. That chibuk, that shining stone on the chin of Srinathji. So I went to this place, Srinathji. Twice before I went there, two of my flip-flops had been stolen. Both in holy places. You leave your chappals, you leave your shoes in your flip-flops. One was stolen in Vrindavan. And 2 months later, the second was stolen in Udupi. Sometimes outside the temples now they write, you know, please keep your belongings safe with you. Do not leave any of your belongings uncared for here. People who are praying inside might think this is the answer to their prayers. Please keep them safely along with you. I lost two of them. And then in Srinathji, Nathdwar, I lost a third pair. Ladies and gentlemen, believe me, I was so frustrated that in less than 3 months, I had lost three of those. And this friend of mine who had flown with me there said, we can buy one, Prabhu, that's okay. I said, no. I'm going to fly to Bombay barefoot today. We drove to the airport from Nathdwar to the Udaipur airport in Rajasthan. I came barefoot. No one even noticed because we were in the car. As soon as I came at the airport, I had a very fancy smartphone, you know. People were calling me and I'm talking on this phone and everyone's watching. And you know, in India, people don't expect that monks speak English, and I'm speaking in English, and I'm speaking not so bad English after all. You know, I'm not talking not so bad English after all. And as they were also looking at me, talking on a fancy smartphone, talking in English and talking such subjects, you know, giving financial consultancy to someone on phone, is asking, should I invest there? Is it the right thing? Is it dharmic? And I'm talking something. And then these people who are talking, they looked at my feet. And they were so disgusted. You're traveling at an airport. You're traveling by a flight. You talk on a fancy phone. You speak English language. You talk about investments and you don't even wear chappals. You don't have shoes in your feet. And believe me, everyone was looking at my feet not to worship them. Just because these feet had no flip-flops on there. And it only went on till the time we boarded the flight. As I boarded the flight, I had the first row in economy. And people were constantly. All these expressions, you know, they were kind of not so comfortable with the fact that I didn't have flip-flops. And this whole thing, this whole drama went on only till the time a gentleman came on business class. And as soon as this guy came on business class, the whole attention shifted to him. And everyone was running to catch a glimpse and take a picture and take a selfie. Selfie realization. Everyone was rushing. This was a very popular Bollywood star, one of the most popular. His name, Salman Khan. Very popular guy. In Bollywood, this Salman Khan came onto the flight. And I was in economy, so I'm seeing him right there. Mine is the first row. And everyone's like trying to... No one's bothered about my feet any longer. From feet book, they went to Facebook. Right down, there was only feet. Now it was Facebook. They wanted to catch a glimpse of his face. And then, we landed. And there was no air bridge, so we had to get down and board a bus to come to the terminal. Now, obviously, he was on business class, so he got down first. And he was allowed to board the bus first. Plus, he's such a celebrity, everyone in the country knows him. So he boarded the bus first, along with two or three of his people. And then to board were some others from the business class, five American girls. They got onto the bus. And they were surrounding this guy, Salman Khan, this popular Bollywood star. And so what? They weren't even concerned. Just standing next to him as if they were standing next to a fellow passenger. And then all the others on the plane, all the Indians got off and they came onto the bus and everyone was like, hey Salman, catching a picture, taking a selfie. So one of these American girls asked one of the Indian men standing, just tapped on him. I was standing right next. She said, who is he? So this guy said, oh, he's a very popular Bollywood star. He's very, very popular. She said, what's his name? She said, Salman Khan. So she immediately Googled. You know, Google Maharaj is everywhere now. Google Maharaj is everywhere to give you all the info that you need. She just typed in Salman Khan and immediately all the websites came, pictures, all his achievements. And after that, even she started taking a selfie with Salman Khan. The same lady who was just standing there not knowing who he was, suddenly her perspective changed. Knowing who this man is, knowing what his nama, rupa, guna, leela is, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, everything she's found out on Google. And as soon as she started found out all of this stuff on Google, she started worshipping him, wanting a selfie with him, wanting a picture with him. And at that point of time, as I came back to the temple, I pulled out my laptop and typed in my file where I write all my daily experiences. I have a file with all the experiences and I put lessons to all of what I go through, what I hear, what I see. And in that file I typed, you may see Salman Khan, but if you don't know who he is, if you don't know what his greatness is, if you don't know what his achievements are, you take him as an ordinary person. If we do not know who Krishna is, if we do not regularly hear and read about Krishna's greatness, how he is great, what makes him great, what are his achievements, what does he do, how does he love, what are his name, his pastimes, his qualities, his beauty. Unless we hear and subject ourselves to constant hearing, Srinivatam, Swakatha, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, as we hear and read about Krishna's glories, that is when we understand he is great. Then we don't take him as a cheap man. If we don't know the greatness, if our Sambandha Gyan is weak, we will take Krishna as cheap. Kamalakanta Vishwas, in his close association with Advaita Acharya, had an issue with the Sambandha Gyan a little bit. He took him as God, but simultaneously thought that God had to clear off a debt of 300 rupees to Maharaj Pratap Rudra and made a request that this debt be liquidated. Therefore, there is a great need to listen. Sambandha Gyan leads to good Abhideya. If our philosophy is right, our conclusions are right, then Abhideya, the process of chanting, serving will be right. And if Abhideya is right, the prayojan, love of God, will automatically arise in the heart one day. But it all begins with putting the understanding right. And that's what lacks in the world today. And that was the special contribution of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. No compromises. No confusions. Crystal clear clarity on the proper understanding of God, on the proper understanding of the jiva, on the proper understanding of the material world, on the proper understanding of the spiritual world. There were no confusions. Everything was very, very clear. But like I many times say, you know, we have two parts of the brain, right and left. In the right side of the brain, nothing is left. And in the left side of the brain, nothing is right. In the right side of the brain, nothing is left. And in the left side of the brain, nothing is right. Srila Prabhupada came to fill the right thing in the left side. And came to put the right thing in the left side. And in the right side where nothing was left, he came to fill in something. Give the proper understanding of what proper philosophy is. One devotee, Prabhupada was sitting in Mayapur. And he had an itch in his eye. So Prabhupada started scratching his eye. And as he was scratching his eye, one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I think you have an infection.
And Srila Prabhupada became very grave. And he turned to this devotee and said, the spiritual master can never be infected.
Of course, he wasn't talking about the physical infection. Physically, yes, there is infection in the eyes. What Srila Prabhupada inferred to is that the spiritual master, a pure devotee, can never be infected. You know? But sometimes when we closely deal, then we start equating even a pure devotee as an ordinary personality, you know. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada constantly emphasized on teachings, having the Sambandha Gyan right, reading his books, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and having our conclusions in place. With those conclusions in place, devotional service cannot go wrong. Advaita Acharya's servant Kamalakanta Vishwas had a desire to serve. But because of a wrong understanding, Mahaprabhu was not pleased. He was requesting favors from Pratap Rudra Maharaj to liquidate the debt of Advaita Prabhu. You know? And therefore Srila Prabhupada constantly kept correcting the mistaken ideas of his devotees. Four of his sannyasi disciples were saying that he is God. What a wrong understanding. And they were saying Srila Prabhupada is, you know, upset with us because we haven't really understood that he is an incarnation of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada immediately took action and banned them from preaching in ISKCON. They came and apologized. Then Prabhupada said, okay, no problem. If you've corrected yourself and you don't preach such kind of a wrong ideology, then you might go to these four different places and start new centers and preach there. And that's how preaching started in four different places because of this particular episode. But Srila Prabhupada constantly corrected devotees, you know, corrected devotees and the wrong understanding they had about philosophy, because he knew that if they do it like this, things will go wrong. One devotee wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, can we put Ganesh ji on the altar and worship? Prabhupada, of course, respected Ganesh ji as a great devotee of the Lord. At the same time, Prabhupada wrote a letter back and said, oh yes, no problem. You can definitely put Ganesh ji on the altar and worship Ganesh ji if you are willing to set $100,000 per month for my BBT book fund. And at that time, to get $100,000 was impossible. So the answer was a no, but it was a very nice way of saying no. If you are going to give $100,000 per month, you can worship Ganesh ji on the altar. Now, Prabhupada was definitely not against Ganesh ji, but he knew if Ganesh comes, then Ganesh's brother will come. Kartikeya. If both brothers come, how can the mother live without both sons? So Parvati will come. Now, if the mother and the two sons come, how can the husband be without the wife? So naturally, Lord Shiva would come. And so if Shiva and Parvati and the two, then Shiva's family and everyone, and then there would be no space for anyone, and Krishna would be one amongst the zillions of personalities on the altar. So although Srila Prabhupada respected Ganesh completely and honored Ganesh completely as a great devotee, he corrected that understanding. Because he knew if that understanding is entertained, a whole series of things will follow. One man came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, you said that the sun and the moon are like the eyes of God. If the sun and the moon are like eyes of God, I can see the eyes both sometimes. I see in the morning sometimes the sun and the moon are there both. I can see the eyes. Why can't I see God? When I see you, I see your eyes, I see your face. If you say the sun and the moon are the eyes of God, I see the sun and the moon, why can't I see the face of God? Srila Prabhupada, so smart, so wise. Srila Prabhupada said, when you go in a dark room sometimes when there's no light at all and there's a cat there, what do you see? Just the eyes of the cat shining. Why can't you see the cat? Because there's darkness. In darkness, all you will see is the eyes. But as soon as you turn the light on, you will see the face of the cat as well. He said, similarly, all you can see is the sun and the moon, and you can appreciate these are the eyes of God, because now we are in the darkness of ignorance, that's how much you can reach. But as we have Sambandha Gyan, as we cultivate proper knowledge and turn the light of knowledge on, Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. The spiritual master opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And as the darkness is dispelled and the light comes, then we see, oh, behind these two eyes is the cat. Then we see, oh, behind the sun and the moon is the face of Lord Shri Krishna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada always focused and emphasized on this Sambandha Gyan. With this Sambandha Gyan, our Abhideya and Prayojana is in place. Otherwise, with wrong understanding, wrong conclusions, we'll probably end up to be like Kamalakanta Vishwas, thinking that God needs to be resolved from his debts, thinking that we probably need to feed baby food to Krishna, thinking that, you know, today Krishna can dress as this and tomorrow Krishna can dress as this, thinking that Srimati Radharani's skirt can be flying all over the sky, thinking that we can do this with the deities and that with the deities. But Prabhupada understood it can just go too far off, and therefore he wanted that we have this proper knowledge. Kamalakanta Vishwas, Lord Chaitanya called Govinda and said, this man, I don't want to see him. Don't allow him to come and see me. My God, just for one little mistake made, he just wrote a note. And he said, don't allow him to see me. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings with Junior Haridas, Chota Haridas, he had just gone to ask for rice from Shikhi Mahiti's sister Madhavi Devi. He had just gone to ask for a little rice for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she was a widow, she was an elderly lady. And he had gone to very respectfully beg. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are a renunciant and you ask for, you go and deal with women like this? I don't want to see your face. Kal Krishnadas, bewildered by the Bhattataris, I don't want to see him, go away. Pratap Rudra Maharaj wanted to see him. Devotees were requesting, if you tell me again, I'll go to Alalnath. And now, Kamalakanta Vishwas, all he said is, please dear king, Advaitacharya has a debt of 300 rupees. Just liquidate that debt and free him from the debt. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want to see the face of this gentleman again. He told Govinda, forbid him from coming there. You know why? Not that he didn't love his devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya, the most magnanimous incarnations of all the incarnations of the Lord. And you think Lord Chaitanya would deal with someone like this? Srila Prabhupada in his purport comments that Lord Chaitanya was soft like a rose, but he would take the role of a thunderbolt simply to set a standard for the future. In the future, if he wouldn't correct this and if it wouldn't take strict action, everyone would think that God is what? A Daridra Narayan. Who is God? A beggar who needs to ask debt. Who is dependent on us? We are not dependent on him. He is dependent on us. To establish that the Supreme is Swarat, independent, not dependent on any of our favors on him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbid, you know, Kamalakanta Vishwas from coming in close quarters and meeting him. Kamalakanta Vishwas was very hurt. Very hurt. I was trying to serve him, right? Was I trying to do something for myself? I was trying to serve Advaita Prabhu. I was trying to make sure that this debt that he had of 300 rupees would be liquidated. Service. I'm trying to serve and look at how they're dealing with me. Don't we go through this? We try to serve and someone doesn't understand it probably. Someone tries to do something. Someone tries to take that service away. Someone tries to ban us from that service. Someone takes that service away and says, you can't serve this way any longer. An immediate response that comes in our mind and in our heart is, hey look, I didn't have any personal agenda there. I simply wanted to serve. Well, all I wanted is service. Is this what I get? Misunderstanding. Is this what I get? Emotional hurt. Is this what I get? Being banned from seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Hare Krishna. Looks like history repeats itself. Huh? Hare Krishna. What do you do in such a scenario? Prabhupada was once, Jadurani Devi was making a painting. And she made a painting and brought it to Srila Prabhupada. It was a painting of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, both standing right next to each other. So Krishna standing playing the flute and Srimati Radharani is holding a garland in the hand and she's looking that side. Krishna's here holding the flute and she's looking that side. And Srila Prabhupada looked at the painting and said, Jadurani, you made that painting? She said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Said, it seems that Srimati Radharani has another boyfriend. Looking at that side, holding a garland for whom? And she was so hurt. She had taken so much effort to make that painting. And when she heard that from Srila Prabhupada, because the conclusion was, Srimati Radharani should be looking towards Krishna, not away from Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada saw that her face had fallen. She was very hurt. Srila Prabhupada said, you know something, Jadurani? You serve Krishna so well by making paintings for him. You serve Srimati Radharani so well. She's so pleased with you. He's holding that garland and saying, where is Jadurani? Where is Jadurani? I want to put this garland on Jadurani. Where is Jadurani? You know? And immediately her spirit was lifted up. You know what? In our daily dealings, there'll always be these things going on. Something will happen, we'll feel hurt. Something will go wrong and we'll feel hurt. Someone will do something and we'll feel let down. It keeps going on. Human emotions is a roller coaster ride. Sometimes up and sometimes down. Sometimes feeling encouraged and sometimes feeling let down. Something feeling inspired, sometimes feeling depressed. Sometimes feeling absolutely high and sometimes feeling absolutely low. Just a roller coaster ride for sadhakas. And especially when it comes from people, that causes a lot of hurt. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said this and Kamalakanta Vishwas felt very, very hurt in his heart. At that point of time, Advaita Prabhu called him and said, hey, why are you feeling so upset? Can you imagine how intimate you are to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Can you imagine how closely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted you that he feels that he can chastise you without your feeling bad? The sign of intimacy is that the person understands when chastised, when spoken. There is such a bonding. There is such an unspoken communication that you don't feel bad because there is trust. When we trust the intention of someone, we don't mind the action of that person. The only time we actually mind someone's action is when we mistrust that person's intention that he has a personal agenda to do something against me. Till the time we have complete trust in the intentions of someone, we will never mistrust that action. We'll feel a little hurt. We'll feel a little bad that he or she did this. But because we trust the intentions, we know it's a part of the game, daily life. It happens. It happens. Prabhupada so many times chastised so many of his devotees. But no one bothered with that action because they trusted that his intention was simply to help, serve and correct. And therefore His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj, once he mentioned in one of his talks, he said the Hare Krishna movement is a movement of wonderful good intentions. We can question actions. I again mentioned this point. But we can never question someone's intentions. To question someone's intentions means to play the role of Krishna. Only he can check intention and see what the intentions are internally. You know. And therefore we find Kamalakanta Vishwas, Advaita Acharya Prabhu telling him, don't worry, he has accepted you as his own. When Mukunda said that, you know, he was preaching all Mayavad philosophy, he chastised him because he had accepted him. Sachi Mata had offended you and he even chastised his own mother, Sachi Mata. But for me, he would respect me like this. All the time because I was a senior, he would respect me. And I just couldn't stand that he was doing samman to me, offering respect to me. So one time I started propounding this Yoga Vashishta philosophy as Prabhupada explained the purport today. The impersonal philosophy. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came closer, I was saying loudly, shouting to the people who were sitting, I am God, you are God, everyone is God. What is all this nonsense that Krishna is God? We are all Krishna. And he said, as I started seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming closer, I started roaring even louder. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just couldn't stand this. Mayavad Bhashya Shunile Hoy Sav. He came, he pulled me off the Vyasasan. and pushed me down and started beating and hitting me. And my wife Sita Thakurani said, "Stop, my dear Lord, he's an old man, he'll die. Stop there, stop there." And then Advaita Prabhu told Kamalakanta Vishwas, "You are so fortunate. You have been accepted as being so intimate that he chastised you directly. You didn't have to do anything, but I haven't been accepted so. And therefore I had to do all this drama in order to be accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an intimate associate." And that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a brilliant statement. He says, whether the master gives opulences or the master gives troubles, the servant must always consider that as a gift of the master. And therefore, when the Lord gives wonderful times, or sometimes the Lord may give reversals, out of gratitude, tattenu kampasu samikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. A devotee out of gratitude understands even a difficulty as a gift of Krishna. And Krishna, in a very intimate way, has given a special gift to me today. Let me see it as Krishna's gift and handle this with the proper perspective and come closer to Krishna. Prabhupada writes this in his commentary. And of course, then Advaita Acharya goes to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so pleased. Finally, he calls Kamalakanta Vishwas, being pleased. And the whole group is united. Advaita Acharya Prabhu is there. Kamalakanta Vishwas is there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. All the associates are there. And in the next section, as we'll hear in the next couple of verses, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Kamalakanta Vishwas, we should never accept such things from materialistic people. If we accept favors, you are wanting Advaita Acharya to be resolved of his debt from Prataprudra Maharaj. This is the time when he had not yet met Prataprudra Maharaj. We should not accept such favors. And he says, when we accept favors from materialistic men, our consciousness will be polluted. And a great personality like Advaita Acharya will be shown as an ordinary person, depending on the favors of such ordinary men of this material world. So in conclusion, this episode, what we have discussed today, is three essential principles. The first principle being, in close association with people, we will automatically see both sides. And therefore, we have to learn how to be a honeybee in dealing with people and a mechanic in dealing with issues. The second principle that we learned from this very wonderful episode was, without proper sambandha gyan or abhideya, practice will be erroneous. Therefore, we have to do Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, read Prabhupada's books and hear the Bhagavatam, because in doing so, our understanding will be right and our actions will thereby be right. We won't feed baby food to Krishna then, you know. And last but not the least, the third principle that was discussed from this episode was that we need support from devotees when we grow through this emotional hurt. Advaita Acharya had supported Kamalakanta Vishwas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said something not wrong, he'd said the right thing, but he had felt hurt. Advaita Acharya was there to support and give him the right understanding. That doesn't matter. And the conclusion statement in that particular episode is this, that when we trust the intentions of a person, then the actions may cause us hurt, but we are also able to let go. You know, and therefore, at the end of the day, what we need to do is always give a benefit of doubt to the intentions of the person. Question the action, but not the intention. So this is a very beautiful revealing episode from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which teaches us how to live our lives in the community of devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.